Without further ado, I want to introduce our next presenter. He spoke at the Exit and Build Land Summit. He's one of our big headlining speakers. This guy is an incredible person, giant personality. He is probably one of the leading influencers, doers. It's not just influencing. That's one thing. I could post online, look at me, la, 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 la. But he's actually doing and building some really cool stuff. And I would say he's one of the leading voices when it comes to permaculture today. And we are super excited to have him. But today he's not going to be speaking expressly about permaculture. He's going to talk about this really, really cool school and system and workshop and intentional community that he's created. Because today is all about parallel systems and agorism. So without further ado, let's bring up Mr. Paul Wheaton, the Duke of Permaculture.
Yay, me! Hi, everybody. I was standing right there just a few months ago.
We hope you'll be back soon. We'd love to have you again.
It was awesome. I'd love to do it again. It was gobs awesome. Of fun.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, we're going to let you take it away. We'll pull your presentation up as well. So thank you so much for joining us there, Mr. Paul. We're excited to hear what you got to say.
So, I need my presentation so I can look at it and be able to, like, tell you what I'm talking about. Oh, look, now I can see it. All right. How do I want to, that's good enough. All right. I had to look up what agorism is. It's like, what do they want me to present on? And apparently Rebecca said, you know, all your stuff. And so let's see if this works. Boom. Yes, my stuff. So this is what I was asked to present on. These are each topics that I can present on or have presented on in the past. But we decided to narrow it down to these five. And so this is going to be, we'll cover each one of these here in a moment. But two of these things are things that I presented on last spring at the Exit and Build Summit. So you can see all the details there. Now, I think a lot of people, they start with the question, how do I make epic coin so I could buy my permaculture dream? And I kind of feel like that is the wrong question to ask. But I mean, there are still people that'll do that. They will travel that path, but that sounds like a 20 to 40 year long path. And I hope that we can come up with stuff to make it much, much shorter. And it is, we do have ways that are going to be a lot better at non-monetary ways, ways that are outside the normal system, things that are even far more effective. So, but if you're interested in, like, you know, making epic coin and how do you make big money with permaculture, I do have presentations on how to make the big bucks with permaculture. But the shortcut is go look at the life of Sepp Holzer. And so for those of you that, you know, you could write that name down or take a picture of this screen or whatever you want, but this guy is making millions of dollars per year from 110 acres. And that's with his old property. And now he has a new property, but that's a, you know, there's a lot to say about Sepp Holzer, but stepping away from that, let's try a better question. How do I arrive at my permaculture dream with or without Epic Coin? Now, for those of you that have read my book, Building a Better World in Your Backyard, instead of being angry at bad guys, it has an entire chapter dedicated to ways that you could build Epic Coin and a lot of different systems that, you know, such as touching on Early Retirement Extreme, a book written by Jacob Lundfesker, or Mortgage Free by Rob Roy. These techniques and combining them together with a bunch of passive income streams, that's all in my book, but I'm not going to talk about that today. So how do I get there with or without Epic Coin? We're going to kind of explore without the Epic Coin. And I think that the dumb fuck position is going to be property is too expensive. I'll never be able to buy anything good. Therefore, I'm out. I can't do it. And it's like, don't go down that path. We'll get you there. And then, of course, the quote of the day, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And that's exactly what we're going to do in these five pieces. First, to understand GERT, we first have to talk about FERD. And so these are two fictitious people, FERD and GERT. And this is, you know, there's a little image of my book in the lower right corner, Building a Better World in Your Backyard Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys. Ferd works 45 hours a week, and he commutes a half an hour each way. He has to spend a certain amount of time acquiring his food, whether it's, you know, going to restaurants and waiting to be served, or going to the grocery store and waiting in line to buy his stuff, or whatever it is that he does. There's time involved in that. And while it seems stupid to point that out, there's a reason why I'm mentioning it now, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. But he has to buy all of his food. That's the way normal people do it. They go to their worky job. They get the money to go out and buy their food. At the end of the month, we're going to say that he has about $200 of disposable income each month that he spends on fun things. And by fun things, I think a lot of people might refer to it as attempting to anesthetize the way that they live their life. Their life is shy of optimal. And so what do they do to entertain themselves and add something back to their soul? He has about $800 in the bank, not a huge amount. So what would Ferd do with $1 million? If I gave Ferd $1 million, I think we know what he's going to quit his job. And then, you know, if he's not aware of this stuff that we're talking about now, he's probably going to go and try and buy a home, pay off his debts, buy things that will buy his future security so he doesn't have to work anymore. But he'll probably be back at work in a year, maybe two. And now the story of Gert, which is really what we want to talk about. And this is an article I wrote, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe. And this has become not only a core piece of the book, but also so many other things that we talk about. We keep talking about Gertitude, trying to be like Gert, so this is a frame of mind. And so it doesn't cost anything. It's totally free. And if this is your frame of mind, because I think it's a great question to ask, is this where you want to go? So Gert has a few acres. She eats the food that she grows. She works 50 hours a week during the harvest. But the rest of the year, maybe 10 hours a week feeding herself, just like how Ferd would spend a certain number of hours per week feeding himself. So, but Gert's eating dominantly, probably close to exclusively food that she's grown herself or has acquired herself off of her land. She rarely drives because almost everything she wants is where she is. Her life is so fulfilled and so complete and so wonderful where she is, she just doesn't feel like driving. Now, I'm painting a picture here, and I'm hoping that you'll do your best to try and work with me. She doesn't want to go. She might leave her property once a month, once every 3 months, just because, you know, she still wants to go out and do things. But for the most part, not really. Most of everything that she enjoys is right here. I wish to, and everything in my book, to pursue the most luxuriant life you can. I want Gert to pursue the most luxuriant life she can. And she can use that rig of hers as much as she wants. It's just that she doesn't like to do it very often. She sells her excess crops to her neighbors or to whoever stops by or whatever. You know, it's not a big deal in her life. So she gets a few bucks here and there by selling excess. She makes about, on average, $300 a month of disposable income. She's got $4,000 in the bank, and she just doesn't spend a lot of money because she has everything she needs. So money just sort of accumulates. Now, here's the important thing. Here's the important difference between Ferd and Gert. I'm going to say that if I give Gert $1 million, she changes nothing. She doesn't do anything differently. So is it fair to suggest that Gert is a permaculture millionaire? So that if she had $1 million, she would do nothing different than what she's already doing. is it fair to call her a permaculture millionaire? Okay. So as we pursue gertitude, how do we define it? Is Gert's life a life of luxuriance and abundance to the standards of some? I imagine most of the people that are listening to me gab right now, it is. This is the destination, or this is a destination, or similar to the destination that you're pursuing, regardless of the amount of financial inputs to her or your life. Okay, so that was part one, and I'm going to move on to the second part now. And I want to ask people to contemplate living in community for a moment. There's upsides and there's downsides. So the upsides, cheap to get in and easy to leave. If it's not for you, you can go. You can just go in, try it out, and then if you don't like it, you can go. But if you do like it, you can stay. It's easy to come and go. About half the cost for double the luxury. Usually the property is glorious and magnificent, and there's so many perks, and the cost to be there is far, far, far less than if you tried to do it all on your own. If there's 20 people in the community and you want to buy a new tractor, kind of like you get a new tractor for 95% off. But if you're all by yourself, you got to bear the burden of the entire price of that new tractor. And if you pick a good community and you get started in a good community, every day is a soul building day. And, life is just so much better than anything that you can find on Netflix or whatever your favorite streaming service is. All that stuff, it's like you just end up not ever looking at it because your day-to-day life is so much more glorious. And I think one of the analogies that we use is about pizza delivery. And the thing is that in this scenario, then nobody gets delivery pizza because there's always somebody making pizza every few days. There's oodles of pizza in your community and you never had, and it arrives even before you realize you're tasted up for pizza. So nobody orders pizza. Why would you? The pizza here is better than the stuff that you order. Now, there is, of course, the massive downside, which under most community scenarios, the downside is far bigger than all the upsides added together. And I want to say that the upside list goes on and on and on. And the downside list is just so giant that it's like it drowns all the upsides. And so that is the never ending psychotic drama. So let's see. Therefore, we need to eliminate 98% of the drama and maybe bump up the good stuff. That's our goal. That's what we want to try to do. So when I was presenting at Exit and Build this last spring, shortly before I presented, we got to hear from Diana Leaf Christian. And when she presented, she pointed out that the current recipes for community have a 95% failure rate. So the thing that John and Rebecca invited me out to for Exit and Build to present on was what I call permaculture thorns. And so this is like attempting to come up with a new community recipe. And so I wrote this draft book years ago because I needed to say these things, and I put it up, and I don't know why it is, but so many different people have just needed to download this book, and I try to put a high price tag on it to discourage people because it's not done. The book is a work in progress, and it's become like my number one book or something. Whenever people come here, they want to talk about permaculture thorns more than all that giant list of other things to talk about. So it's available, and apparently people like it so much that I was asked to present on an Exit and Build. And if you go out to our link at Exit and Build, it'll direct you to how to go and get that stuff and be able to see the presentation that I gave about this, which was, I thought it was really good. It seemed like it was very well received. I had a great time doing it. Okay. The book is broken down into these five parts, and it's kind of like a series of essays, and I'm trying to explore different things that work and don't work and that sort of stuff. But the point of the book is to try to bring you to where I am and trying to design a new community. Apparently people groove on it. All right. So, design ideas for the future. What if there are thousands of central leader communities? Now, most of the current community designs are not central leader, and that's one of the biggest changes. And so it's kind of like, how do you make central leader work? Well, it turns out in this day and age, there are ways for a central leader to convey what their philosophy set is, dominantly through podcasts or YouTube videos or whatever, but they can put out so much information that when you go shopping through thousands of different potential communities, that you might narrow it down to a dozen, and then you can start pawing through the information that those central leaders provide and see which one might be worth trying out. Now, keep in mind, you can be agile, you can pop around from one to another. Oh, right. The challenge is mostly far too much drama. Next piece out of five, the skip book. So when you're looking for land, this is a place to possibly start. The skip book is a list of about 1,000 different projects that you can do, document, and can be automatically verified for free. So you can get all of the skip stuff for free. Permies.com/skip. It's all there, everything for free. And the thing is that when you have accomplished 100 or 200 of these things, then a bunch of elderly landowners would like to talk to you. And so they are desperately looking for people that they find to be worthy and are interested in inheriting land, because they'd like to pass their land on to you. They just need to know that you're into homesteading and that you're interested in this kind of thing, and that you're basically, that they just want to have confidence that you're not going to just take their land and turn around and sell it. So that you're going to, so they've put their heart and soul and their entire life into doing this beautiful homesteading thing. And they just need to pass this on to somebody that's going to continue doing that rather than just sell it off to somebody who's going to bulldoze it. So we had a bunch of people that loved it so much, they asked us to put it into a book. I felt a little weird. I didn't think anybody would buy a book for something that we make available on the internet for free. But a few thousand people did. So, by all means, grab the book if you like, or just go look at the free stuff. As part of this, we've got this concept of Otis. And Otis is kind of an amalgam of dozens, pushing 100 different people that we have talked to that have land and are looking for somebody. And so in the book, we kind of made this amalgam person, Otis. Otis has two houses on his 200-acre property. He's got a tractor, a good truck. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's got all the acres. He has a good barn, all kinds of good stuff that he has created over his lifespan, and he wants it to continue with somebody that's keen on homesteading. So we have, I think at this moment in time, we have more than two dozen Otises who are standing by waiting to give their offers to the first people who reach something around PEP 2 or PEP 3 certification. More about that at permies.com/skip. All of the 1,000 different projects are divided into 22 different aspects. And so, in fact, we have a thing called PEP 1, where basically you complete about 80 different little projects and get them verified. And it'll be from 16 of the 22 different aspects. But there's a quick list to kind of get you warmed up for it. 1,000 different projects. Okay. 5 levels, 4 certifications. Otis, oh, most of the time, Otis is looking for PEP 4 certification. Then PEP 4 could take you 4 years. PEP 1, we think, could take the better part of a month. Maybe certain people could get it done in as little as 2 weeks. But PEP 4, we think, is going to be a solid 4-year program. Deep Roots. So here's number 4 out of 5. Deep Roots. This is a program that we have here at my place in Montana. So $25,000 for an acre. That's rent for life. And it can be terminated by either party at any time. And so I think for a lot of people, they're going to say, oh, hell no. If I could get kicked out at any time, why the hell would I ever go? No, I'm out. I'm out. And it's like, I'm glad we got that worked out. That's delightful. You know, easy peasy. And then at the same time, there are several people that have spent a lot of time listening to my podcast, watching my videos, reading my books, whatever. And they feel confident that it'll be delightful. And so they ponied up the coin and they live here now. And so for very few people, this is an option. And so I'm not saying it's for everybody, but it is going to be for a few. Now, if you're the least bit nervous, then you need to learn more about this central leader to decide whether or not it'll work for you. All the materials that I have available to help you with that. Now, here's the one that I like. Basically, we've got a program here called the Permaculture Bootcamp. And in fact, before coming in on doing this, they all said that they wanted to come in here and stand in the back of the office and look over my shoulder as I'm giving this presentation, because I think they're watching it in the other room. But anyway, the thing is that if you spend 2 years participating in the boot camp, so you're going to be doing gardening and natural building and all of the homesteading things and maintaining vehicles or using those vehicles to do fun and interesting stuff. I mean, several of them post pictures every day of the stuff that they're working on, so you can get a good idea of what all they're doing and interact, of course, with everything that's here already, which I think is pretty cool stuff. If you're into permaculture, I think you'll find a lot of the stuff that we have here now very enjoyable. But if you spend 2 years doing this, 1 year doing the basics and 1 year in a leadership role, then you'll get an acre of Deep Roots. And so the program I just and we've had 2 people who've completed the program, and they have their Deep Roots right now. And there are 2 more people that are past the 1 year mark now that are looking at possibly going with Deep Roots. So This is a program that we have that I'm very excited about. Love having more people out here to be part of this. We've had a lot of people from the Exit and Build Summit last spring come out here for like a week or a month and jump in and build this experience of being here. So I'm hoping that a few of you will make the decision to come out here too. Now, we also have a program where people can rent one of our tiny structures for a month or a week or a few months even, and then be in and out of the boot camp as much or as little as they like. We've got 2 people here now that are doing that. Some pictures of the different kinds of projects and things going on here at the Permaculture Boot Camp. There's our solar food dehydrator. We've got a new one that's right up next to it. That's a solar food dehydrator with rocket assist, with like a rocket mass heater assist. A lot of people, this is their first time driving a tractor. Natural building. There's a sample of our junk pole fence. Canning. Right now, we have, during the winter, we have what we call half-assed holidays. There's 2 half-assed holidays this week. We did Prenicky Day, where we try to build things using Prenicky's techniques, and Quilting Day. And then today, I think, is Fermentation Day. And so we've got a guy from California here now who's like running point. He's an expert fermenter. He came up and is in the SEPA program just to help guide the boots through the fermentation process. I don't know, lots of, try to look at the pictures to see like what to talk about for the roundwood timber framing. We do a lot of roundwood timber framing. And we have a natural building. We do a lot with cob and with rock. We have a lot of rock to work with. Hugel culture. We do oodles of Hugel culture. Soil sample tool. We do a lot with that. And then there's some of the timber framing going on. Rocket mass heaters. I think we have more than a dozen active rocket mass heaters, three rocket cooktops, some rocket water heaters, things of that nature. And then you can see the logs being peeled. Gardening. Oh, for everybody that's here in the boot camp during the warmer season, half a day every day is spent on gardening. There's our teepee. sometimes it needs maintenance. Oh, and we've got all these fruit trees started from seed. More construction, more building things, natural building and stuff. People. Okay, does that smell? I don't know. Was that agorism? It might have been agorism. But does it smell like parallel systems? But I think this is my last slide. I'm done. Whew, how am I doing on time? Did I go too fast? This is the questions part, right? Oh, no, am I by myself? I can't hear anything.
Hey.
There he is.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Give it up for Paul Wheat, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Mr. Paul, we got about 5 minutes before your time is up. First, I just want to thank you because I see you as a solutionary. And the whole skip thing, right? Yeah, solutionary. The whole revolution thing, when you look at the word revolution, the root of the word is revolve, which is like going around in circles. So it's like, let's throw the bums out, and then we become the bums, and then we're going to get thrown out in a generation or two, and now the bums are coming back around. La, 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 la. We're trying to just evolve past all this BS. But I was really grateful to bring you to the X and Build Land Summit specifically because of this skip program. Because I appreciate in you that you recognized a problem. There's a lot of older folks that have put their heart and soul, resources, time, energy into these properties. And when they pass, their kids sell it right out from underneath them, or the government takes it. And then there's a lot of youngsters that don't have a lot of money, but they want to do permaculture. They want to do the homesteading, land maintenance thing. And you bridge the two together. So I just want to encourage people to take Paul's lead and not see things in terms of problems, rather see the flip side, which is a solution. So thank you, Paul.
That came about in an interesting way. I had dozens of people with land trying to convince me to, you know, can you tell me about somebody who can take this over when I'm gone? And it's like, there's so many of them. And then at the same time, youngsters, they're like, well, I want to be a homesteader. Should I go to college? What do I do? How do I get to homesteading from where I am now? And I'm currently debt free and I have a powerful interest in homesteading. And it's like, it just seems perfectly natural to connect those two people together. But of course, what the people with the land need is they just need to know. They just need to utterly know that this person is worthy. They need proof. And so that's what Skip is like giving these youth the ability to provide the proof to satisfy these elderly landowners.
I love it. You know, another thing I like about you, Mr. Paul, this is kiss Paul's ass session here.
Yay! Bring it on!
How much more time do we have for this? I appreciate you because from what I gather, you're largely apolitical. You don't really care too much what's going on in the news. You're not left. You're not right. You don't even bother with the libertarian or agorist or anarchist label. You're just too busy building cool stuff.
Is Jack Spirko there?
I think Jack's here. Where is he?
Jack could probably spend an hour defining who I am. And every time I read what Jack says I am confused at what those things mean. but yeah, I don't know. I have like an oil and water kind of aversion to most of that stuff. It just sounds like spin. It all sounds like spin to me. And it's like, that doesn't sound like growing a garden. That doesn't sound like building a home. That sounds like something to make somebody naughty, to make them more money somehow. And so I just kind of tune it out. And then Jack tells me about how, no, I'm doing something. And I don't understand what that means. So, but Jack's awesome. So I kind of figure like he's probably knows what he's talking about and I should learn who I am.
I think you know who you are pretty well. Let's give it up for Paul Wheaton, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a 5-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating 5 focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4, co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.